so much can distract you from achieving your goals and dreams. Is there a way to balance your work with other things you enjoy doing that will not make you feel like your time is being abused? At Born to Lead program, we help you to discover or rediscover your purpose or plan for life. We tell you how to find purpose in life. We are all born with a purpose. Join us on the journey to discover how other people have successfully achieved their dream or are on the path of doing so, and how you can do the same. This is Born to Lead. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. Join us here now on 104.6 Planet FM. Good afternoon, Auckland. Good afternoon, the nation's business capital. This is once again the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM. My name is Kizito.
You've been kept down for much too long.
So today we've got a very interesting series of interviews that are going to happen today. Live on the show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Born to Lead Show.
Come with me on this happy trip back to the promised land.
And as our first guest for today is a very fine gentleman, you know, who is sitting right, you know, across me, and he is going to kick off the interview for today. So stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back. All right, so if you are listening to us live on Facebook, thank you for tuning in. Dennis Bond, all the way, I think, from USA, I think. Thank you for tuning in on the Born to Lead Show on live on Facebook. So wherever you are listening to us live, this is the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM. You're once again to the Born to Lead Show. So welcome once again to the Born to Lead Show. So if you're just tuning, this is your authoritative show, coming to you live every Saturday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. New Zealand time from Planet FM 104.6. So today we start with a very special interview with one of our gentlemen for one of our leading youth groups in New Zealand. And I would like him to introduce himself. So as I said earlier on, so he's kind of risen through the ranks in the organization, and today he will do the introduction by himself. Without much ado, I would like to turn on to our interviewee or our guest in the house today, our first guest on the Born to Lead Show. Thank you for tuning in, and I'm Richard, on live on Facebook. So thank you, everybody. And without much ado, I would like to introduce our guest. That is Anton Bovin. I hope I got your last name right.
That's right. Thanks, Kizito.
All right. Awesome. So tell us, what have you been up to, Anton? How was your holiday? I mean, it's been a very festive break, I hope. So how was your whole Christmas and New Year then?
Yeah, it was really nice, actually. I spent some quality time with the family over Christmas. Got my stepdad a new toy. It's a little drone that I think he's really going to love. He's already been taking it out. He's big into nature.
Yeah.
And he loves taking nature photography. So hoping this is really just going to take it to the next level for him, and he's really going to get a lot out of it.
Awesome. Where is he based?
He lives out in West Auckland in Oratia.
Okay.
My family home.
All right.
I grew up there.
Awesome. Beautiful. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, what do you do for life or for living? And
Well, for my livelihood,
yeah.
I work as a strategy consultant
okay.
at a small firm, and we do a lot of work for corporate and commercial clients,
yeah.
as well as state-owned enterprises and kind of local government, regional councils, things
yeah.
like that.
Awesome. And are you loving it?
Yeah, I am. I'm a little bit tired at the moment. So,
how long have you been into that?
I've been doing that for 3 years.
Wow.
Before that, I was actually a high school maths teacher.
Yeah, okay.
And that was a totally different thing, but it was also a pretty wonderful experience.
Awesome. Well, did you like it? Why did you change from being a maths teacher to what you're doing now?
That's a great question. It's something that I grapple with a lot.
Yeah.
It was really around, it wasn't about the day-to-day teaching because I really found a lot of reward in doing that.
Yeah.
You know, making an impact in the lives of these kids, and I think mathematics is such a critical tool for our young people to understand the world that we live in.
Yeah.
But what I was finding was that the structure of the curriculum meant that the way that I wanted to teach wasn't the way that I wound up being able to teach. And so I tried to teach in this kind of engaging, applied way that made lessons exciting. And maybe it was a fault of my own, but I found that just didn't result in being able to get through everything.
Yeah.
Because it takes a little bit of time to bring the fanfare to the lessons and make it all.
So you were telling me you were trying to be creative, but it didn't go down well with the authorities. Would that be correct?
Not really with the authorities, I think.
Yeah.
Because the one of the great things about teaching is, you know, I heard a quote that you're the king of the classroom.
Wow.
So you get to,
you are in charge.
Yeah, exactly. You get to kind of, I mean, you have a curriculum, so you need to teach the kids what they need to learn.
That's right.
But beyond that, you're given a lot of license to create.
Okay.
I think a lot of the time, though, that the teachers, you know, have this ideal world of how they want to teach, and then they keep having to kind of pair it back to what becomes kind of the functional way of actually getting through everything.
Yeah.
And so that's why we get, you know, some of the kinds of teaching that we see, you know, that I experienced growing up in high school.
Awesome. So what was your overall experience with as a teacher or with these kids? I mean, if you could tell us some few words about, I mean, what did you get out of it? You know, your interaction with these young people.
I love all people.
Yeah.
And so when I got to kind of shape the kind of futures and the thinking of these young people, on a daily basis, you know, about 120 of them that I would see every day, maybe 150, and just forming those connections and those relationships. It's always tricky as a teacher because, you know, you kind of have to create those barriers in order to kind of be effective and maintain the professional relationship. But I do think that I did have a connection with these kids.
Yeah.
And that was really rewarding.
Awesome. All right, thank you. So coming to, I mean, probably some of the main things that we're going to be talking about today, about you are the national president for JCI.
That's
so
right.
Some of my listeners might ask, what is JCI? What is that organization? What is it and what do you do?
Well, that's a fair question. And again, something that we that we actually have a bit of a tough time communicating at times because JCI is a global organization and it looks very different in different places. When I get asked that question, I try and reflect on the JCI mission, which is to provide development opportunities to empower young people to create positive change. And so across the world, that looks quite different because there's kind of two focuses that you could have with that, with a mission like that. One is on the development side, is kind of lifting people up, and the other one is the creating positive change, actually taking community action and making things happen. And now, both of those things are quite dear to my heart. Obviously, as a teacher, I was a developer of young people. I guess I'm kind of socialist or left wing. So when I look out at the world and I see people who maybe don't have as much as other people,
you want to help.
Their lives aren't quite as
awesome. All right. So as a national president of this organization that you talk about, I mean, providing development opportunities for young people to create positive change, what are some of the, I would say, the key initiatives that as an organization you've done, you know, I don't know, on the suburban level or local level or national level? I mean, because I want my listener to know what this organization is all about, what you're doing to make a change in New Zealand and probably beyond.
Sure. So we're largely based in Auckland at the moment. And the action that we've been taking has been more focused around the development side of things at this stage. We're quite a small and growing organization. It kind of makes sense to develop your people before actually taking that impact, because you kind of get, you kind of build the engine to make the change happen.
So it's more of personal development that you're referring to, or something else?
More personal development, a little bit of professional development as well. And the way that that looks for us right now is we've been holding these events which we call career encounters. And the idea of these events is to give young people a kind of insight or exposure into what kinds of futures they could create for themselves. And so we bring in these inspirational people who are around the Auckland region, who have lived exciting lives, and what we try to do is take people from different stages of their lives and of their careers, so that our members and the people who attend can look to kind of see themselves maybe what they could be doing now, what they could be doing in a few years' time, like some near-term goals and aspirations, and then some long-term, you know, what or who could I be in the future?
Awesome.
So that's kind of a key thing. On the community development side, I've got something that's kind of brewing. I'd say hasn't come to fruition yet. Which I'm calling the Active Citizenship Hub. And the idea behind that is really to take, if you think about young people today, and a lot of people in the world, they have jobs and they have friends and they kind of spend some of their time at their job and they spend some of their time with their friends or at home. And often there's not a lot of thought given to the wider community. I think as the human race, we're becoming more insular in terms of who we interact with, but actually humans crave that community. And I think that we want to give back to that community. And so what I want to create is something that allows people to reflect in on themselves and work out what it is that they care about, what matters to them, and then connect that to something that's actually already happening in the wider community, where people are already taking action to deliver on that purpose. And and make the change happen that way, because there are so many people doing such great things out there already.
Yeah.
We don't need to reinvent it. We can just connect people to it.
Connect to people to it.
And so we wanna help people discover what matters to them,
yeah,
and connect them to it.
Awesome. So there might be young people listening to us right now who might be saying, "Oh, wow, this is awesome. So how can I be involved? I mean, how do I, you know, get connected? I mean, what are some of the ways and means that people can probably get involved in some of the awesome things you're talking about?"
The first thing to do would probably be to like our Facebook page, where we kind of promote the events that are taking place. JCI Auckland.
Okay.
And there's also JCI New Zealand.
Yeah.
But most of the event-based stuff will be coming from JCI Auckland.
Okay. Awesome. So is it for everyone? I mean, is there any age limit, or anyone can just join or be part of it?
So it would be our membership base is from 18 to 40.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you couldn't engage with us in other ways,
okay,
not being a member, but to attend some of our events. We would welcome people who are
so outside of how do bracket. People who fall outside that age bracket be able to be involved or be part of whatever I say? Maybe they are 16 or 17. Can they still maybe be part of it until they officially join? Or maybe they're over 40? Could they be affiliated or partners? You get what I mean? So, I just want to know what others who fall outside that age bracket you just gave can probably be involved. What are some of the ways?
Well, first of all, it would be just attending our events.
Okay.
And engaging with us that way.
Yeah.
We really want to create a community around our events and around the values that we hold.
Yeah.
There has been talk about affiliate members,
yeah,
but we haven't really
gone down deep into that yet.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So, you've talked about a lot of interesting stuff, you know, happening locally within New Zealand. And you said earlier that this is an international organization. Is there anywhere people could be involved internationally? What are some of the things? I mean, can you talk a little bit more about maybe your engagement internationally or maybe regionally, something like that?
Sure. So my first exposure to international was at the Asia Pacific Regional Conference.
Yeah.
Because New Zealand is part of the Asia Pacific region, as the way that JCI is has been
structured
around the world. And so there are international events that you can attend, such as the Asia Pacific Conference I mentioned. Where there are kind of international trainings, but also just opportunities to connect with thousands. There are thousands of attendees to these things, and they come from all over the world. The conference I attended was in Mongolia.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, here's an opportunity to go to Mongolia. I'm taking it. And it was a profoundly, you know, beautiful cultural experience there.
Yeah.
That place is amazing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you want to see the world in a kind of real, authentic sense and connect with the communities there, that's...
those are the opportunities.
Yeah, that's an amazing way to do it. As well as, you know, I met tons of people from all over Europe who are thinking and doing the same things that we're doing here. And it's so exciting to kind of share those experiences.
Experiences. Awesome. Beautiful. So what would be your last word on the Born to Lead show? Being the national president for JCI New Zealand,
I would say, look inside yourself and find out what you really care about, and make it happen, and don't let anything stop you. And if you want some help on that pathway, come to JCI and we can guide you through that.
Beautiful, beautiful. Anton Bovin, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you very much, Kizito.
Cheers. All right, so that was Anton Bovin, who is the president of, the national president, actually, of JCI New Zealand, that we just had on the show. So we are going on a quick music break. We'll be right back. When we come back, we'll go to our next interviewee on the Born to Lead show. So please stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back. So if you're just listening, you are listening to the Bon Tilly Show coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM. My name is Kizito, and as usual, I'm your host for today. So we've got a very fantastic and a very fine gentleman once again with us on the Bon Tilly Show today. And very soon we're going to introduce him, we'll get to know him probably before we start the interview. So please stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back. So that was the Osibisa Band with the Sunshine Day coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM, one of Pope Francis on the Bon Tilly Show. So with us in the studio once again is a very fine gentleman, as I said. So thank you for tuning in. That is our brother from USA, Duahene, and then also Duadishie. I keep missing your name. That's Duanadishie. Duanadishie Kwesi, who is listening to us all the way from USA. Thank you for tuning on Facebook. So we've got listeners from Australia, we've got listeners from China, from USA, from Africa, all over the world, and New Zealand as well. Thank you all for tuning in live on Facebook. It's been a pleasure having you all on the show. So our next guest on the Bon Tilly Show, he's a very fine gentleman, and he's going to be sharing with us his experiences and also his personal inspiring life story and his expertise and work that he's been doing in the international adoption and children's rights. So we're a very strong advocate for that area or that sector of our society. He was one of the youngest presenters at the 2018 World Adoption Research Conference, which was held recently in Montreal. He has presented at the 12th ASEM Summit. He's the Young New Zealand of the Year, Young New Zealander of the Year semi-finalist, and one of the youngest New Zealand Rotary Peace Fellowship nominee. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is Alex Kuch. Thank you, Alex, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me here this afternoon, Kasiko.
All right, beautiful. So, Alex, tell us, what have you been up to? I mean, I've read all these fancy, you know, intro, which means you've been really busy.
Yeah, I've had quite a busy 2018.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
So, yeah, some highlights for 2018 were in July finishing university.
Yeah.
I studied at the University of Auckland. Where I did a Bachelor of Arts majoring in Politics and International Relations.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think,
so how long was that? Was it for 4 years?
It was a three-year degree.
Three-year degree.
And I
awesome.
Think probably before I go on explaining 2018, I suggest to be helpful to our listeners, I give, if it's okay with you, we'll give them a brief background where I'm from.
Yeah, that's pretty much, we'll come to that. So we just wanted to know, like, briefly what you've been
Okay, so I graduated university mid-2018 in July.
Yeah.
After that, I went to a research conference in Montreal in Canada with a co-researcher from Auckland University of Technology, Dr. Rhoda Sherman, who asked me to conduct co-research with her on the experiences of adopted youth.
Adopted youth.
Which
awesome.
Was really an eye-opening experience, being one of the youngest people there.
Yeah.
But they were also really welcoming.
Awesome. All right. So that's good.
Then some other things where I did a 3 months internship in the Netherlands with a children's rights organization that looked empowering youth using life skills empowerment. So from social entrepreneurship to responsibility to setting up how you set up your own businesses that work across all continents, and they've impacted already 4.5 million kids.
Wow.
And I was helping them to set up a new program and new partnerships with organizations, for instance, of children that are in alternative care settings, such as orphanages or children's homes.
Yeah.
And helping them basically to achieve independence when they have to leave their institutions.
Yeah.
And I helped them get two new partners that give them direct access to the UN in Geneva.
Beautiful, beautiful.
It was a good experience.
And yeah.
A highlight also was having my parents in Malaysia with me in November.
Yeah.
Sharing my life story for TEDx at UPM University.
Wonderful,
Just some highlights.
Yeah, so it's been a very busy 2018 for you. I can see that. All right, so coming back to probably who you are, and I mean, just a little bit of your background. So who's Alex Coach? I mean, were you born in New Zealand? Were you born somewhere? Can you give us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so I guess to start off is, if you would describe, just interesting people ask me, how would you describe yourself? I'll say in three words describing Alex is, I'm driven.
Yeah.
I'm a global citizen and I am a passionate person.
Wow.
And meaning being a global citizen is I was born in Romania.
Yeah.
Spent 2 years of my life in an orphanage. And I was adopted in 1997 by a German family.
Yeah.
And then when I was 10, as a family, we moved to New Zealand. And
so from Eastern Europe to Western Europe to Asia Pacific.
Yes.
You are truly global New Zealand. You are truly global citizen.
And since a couple of years now, since 6 years, got also two passports.
Yeah.
New Zealand and a German passport.
Wow, beautiful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So how young were you when you moved from Romania, or when you got adopted?
I was basically I was 2 years old.
2 years?
Yeah, when I was in the orphanage. And what was interesting for people was when I was adopted, my parents were told by a psychologist in Germany that Alex will struggle to complete high school, university will be impossible, and him doing things like a TED Talk or even just giving a radio interview will be impossible for him.
They said that to you?
Yeah, they said it to my parents, a psychologist.
Were they right?
Well, I think the results show a bit of a different picture.
Beautiful. So what made the result different? What did Alex do to change that perception or that thing that was put on him that you could never result in anything good?
I think it's probably not what I did, but more what my environment was like. And I think it was just the love and the care of my parents.
Yeah.
My extended family and friends. I did have a lot of support, when I was growing up and especially younger, like speech therapy or just special therapy for things that I had missed out growing up for the first 2 years.
So you reckon because you were deprived of those things in those specific environment that contributed to the psychologist saying that because those things were not around in that environment, would that be correct?
I would say that's probably what went on in his mind. I mean, I don't know his exact thoughts, but that's probably what went on his mind. And I mean, I would say now, given that I spoke myself at a psychology conference and hearing experts who all got to hear my story said that was quite careless.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, there are things that might make it harder, but it's not impossible. And they've kind of agreed now, all psychologists, yes, it's terrible for kids to grow up in orphanages, and I'm not for orphanages, but it can be reversed, or if you are in the right supportive environment.
Yeah.
And it is a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
It's not impossible.
That's right. I mean, well, I agree that the environment, the new environment that you found, yeah, helped you to be what you are today.
Yes.
But I would say it is not just the environment. Would that be correct for me to say that even though you are given, yeah, that opportunity in that, yeah, new environment with full of, yeah, opportunities, I mean, people have it, they are still, yeah, missing it. So what did Alex do? Take advantage of that opportunities in that new environment to be who you are today.
I think what kind of, what if you would ask me specifically, what I did was that I took all the support that I received, and I'm,
yeah,
really, like I said earlier, a passionate and driven person. So, yeah, I've always wanted to know things, or always wanted to kind of give my 100% at everything. So I would always, you know, if I had an opportunity at high school or anywhere else, I'd always do my best and challenge myself.
What has made you different in your journey as compared to your mate?
I would say what would me, I think probably what made me different is that I've had to face things in my past that a lot of people might have not been exposed to. And I guess that made me more resilient. And if you would ask me maybe what was the turning point for me, was when in 2015 I was back in Romania, and I was confronted with my past, mm-hmm, in Romania, being surprised by my biological family on national TV, and all a lot of other things happened, and I actually had the chance to say to the whole country that was watching, yes, what have happened to me might have been not so nice, and,
yeah,
and some people, you know, might be upset that I got abandoned. Yeah, that might be, but I said, you know, I've had these opportunities in New Zealand and in Germany that I probably wouldn't have had in Romania at the time, so I'm grateful for what happened, and that Romania needs, or the people of Romania would need to look forward instead of just saying, oh, it's a bad thing, but actually, yeah, see the opportunities that I can actually build bridges now between not only Germany and New Zealand, but also between New Zealand, Germany, and Romania.
Mm-hmm. How did that, when you saw that, how did that, how did you program that or process that psychologically when you saw what happened in Romania?
I guess your question is asking how I dealt. I would be.
I mean, how did you react with that?
Yes,
I mean, having.
Yeah, to be honest, at the time it was, I really don't know at the time how, what it felt. The only,
yeah,
it was just shock. I mean, I didn't know, mm, I was going to meet my birth family. It was, yeah, just shock. But I subconsciously just said what I believed. And I mean, yes, it was a hard time after, because I had lots of things, because I also went into a couple of orphanages,
yeah,
in Romania, and that was really, yeah, a bit more to take than I expected to. But I think afterwards, yeah, what was helpful for me is having friends and family around,
yeah,
to support me, and I think that actually helped me to become who I am now. I would say I'm a lot more resilient,
yeah,
and I can deal with things a lot better that might be emotionally loaded than back then. And I guess really helped to give me my why, which would be in simple terms to try to create opportunities for others like me that don't have those opportunities currently, and encourage other people to give them those similar opportunities.
Yeah. I mean, going through that experience and going back to Romania, I mean, I must say that you must have such a very strong, you know, intelligence emotionally to be kind of taking that and saying that this could have been me, but I had the opportunity, you know, to get a new environment to be what I am today. So what was going on in your mind when you saw the other young people in Romania in those orphanages and villages?
What probably went on in my mind at the time when I saw those children was a lot of different things, saying, you know, that could have been me, maybe,
yeah,
also feelings at the time of guilt, and, you know, why was I the lucky one? But then kind of realizing, yes, you know, you can feel, you know, all these emotions, and it's good to accept them, but I think, mm, you shouldn't dwell on them, but actually,
yeah,
use them to propel yourself forward,
yeah,
and see, yes, you know, the world is not a perfect place and you've got to accept it, but see, what can I or we do collectively to try and address those things,
mm,
in a collective manner.
Beautiful. Now, let's talk about a little bit more about your works, what you've been doing around the world. What do you love about the act of public speaking? Because you do a lot of public speaking. You motivate young people. I mean, what is it? What do you love about that?
What I really like about public speaking and sharing, I guess, sharing my story is that,
yeah,
I guess it's providing people with new perspectives and also making it more personal, because there are a lot of experts out there that talk about adoption from, you know, a psychological perspective, like at that conference, and from legal perspective, which is really, you know, great. I mean, I'm fascinated by that, but I think what people always still want is a kind of a human side as well. And also, I guess I've got, given that I've spent quite a, in a different places around the world, in Europe and in New Zealand, I can give different perspectives on things, and people really like to hear it and make it personal, such as the challenges that I've had to overcome, and also giving people a way of saying, you know, if you're dealing with something challenging, be it either if you're adopting or anything else, that there is a way to move forward.
Yeah.
Why do you feel impelled to motivate people to make a change?
I would say I'm compelled by that because it's, I guess, yeah, just be become who I am, and that's been shaped by my past experiences.
Yeah.
And I think, like, because if you have kind of like that privilege where you're now in life, that you have responsibility to give back.
Awesome. Good. You let me ask you, you listen to a lot of speakers? Do you have mentors? People you look up to?
Yeah, I've got mentors.
So what inspires you in their speaking or in their life? What inspires you about that?
So I get what inspires me in my mentors and people that I look up to is that the ones that really make a difference are the ones that are really authentic, but also the one really authentic in that they try to stay true to what they believe in, but also the ones that really know how to communicate really clearly. That's why I've done professional public speaking for 4 years now. I've done Toastmasters, which is an international global organization.
More about pub. You do a lot of public speaking.
No, I practice it actually in a club.
Awesome.
We normally meet every 2 weeks, and that's been really helpful.
Great.
Because I've learned being able to articulate yourself clearly is really important.
It's very important. Beautiful. How do you divide your time between delivering ideas, especially when it comes to you speaking about international adoption and children's rights? Obviously, you've been involved in some fora and some, you know, round the table discussions. Yeah. How do you divide, you know, your time between delivering those ideas and creating them?
I think how I divide them is, I guess, prioritizing items.
Yeah.
Like, so, for instance, if I... Mm. I mean, there are times, things where... They kind of come up, they're not expected, but I think it's because I've done certain things, it's easier to put something together. But I think it's just prioritizing and looking forward, you know, like, is it relevant for me to attend, do this, or like, does it fit with my long-term goal?
Yeah. Your experiences around the world, if you take what you have in Europe, let's say Western Europe or Eastern Europe, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Asia Pacific, okay, and other parts of the world. I mean, these are people who live in different worlds and they approach things differently. You sit around the table and make some ideas, make some bullet points. How do we solve the problems? I mean, do you see a commonality between, you know, how we can handle a problem in Asia Pacific as compared to Europe? Is there any common ground, or they see things differently? When you travel around the world and you're around the table discussing some of the solutions that we could find for international adoption and children's rights?
Well, I would say there's some how it's done contextualized on the ground. There's definitely some difference in how it's implemented. You know, different things, it's different. But
Can you share some experiences on that?
So, for example, is that, let's say, certain countries are more... they're not so interested in adoptions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a bit of, you know, fear of it because of things that might have gone on in the past.
Yeah.
But those fears, you know, there are a lot of countries now, but those reasons, they differ. So there were certain countries where kids were forcibly removed. So that's very common with countries where they had indigenous people. So there's commonalities were between countries such as Australia, with Aborigines, or in Canada, the First Nation people, or in other places, whereas in places like, there were other countries where adoption was first actually really positive because they had such a problem with having too many orphans.
Yeah.
But then later on, some people said that adoption is bad because it was kind of being taken advantage of.
How do you defend that when people say adoption is bad?
Well, the easiest way I would say that is just because a group of people, let's say, have had normally, you know, biological children, and let's say they, you know, abuse those children, you couldn't say, oh, we're going to force sterilize a whole ethnic group or population because something happened here. I mean, if you would do that now, most people, you know, would be rightfully so outraged by that. Instead, they would look, what can be done different to protect those children?
And what are some of the things, from your perspective and experience, you've done to change that perception by people that adoption is bad?
I mean, the simplest thing would have been sharing my story and also highlighting how the international system already puts in place the different processes for making sure that kids are kept safe. And if they're not, what can be done, but also acknowledging that things haven't always gone 100% wrong, and not just being like black and white, but saying, yes, you know, adoption is maybe not 100% correct, but I think we have to move in this gray zone where we say, you know, why just argue against each other, but find a common ground and work together in that ground.
What are some of the goals and the mission of the International Adoption Research Conference, which I'm not sure if it happens every year, but if it does, what do they seem to achieve by having that conference, research conference?
I think what I would say, what Dave shared with me this time when I was there trying to do this, to share best practices and the latest findings on adoption from a psychological perspective, but also to kind of share it with, for instance, they had representatives of government agencies on adoption stairs as well. So that will mean to share best practices with governments, in a sense. But so that's some of their goals. And basically just to share best practices and make sure that, you know, kids basically have a good adoption experience in simple terms.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Alex, in your experience and expertise, how would you define success?
How I would define success is, I would say success is, I think it's such a broad term for everyone.
Yeah, that's right.
And for myself,
from your experience and expertise.
Yeah. So I would say success is if you can actually see some kind of change happening, for instance, the people you're trying to help or what you're trying to achieve, but also realizing you can't help everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, you can try, but it's not always going to happen, but I guess success is, you know, seeing that you're saying you've done the best that you can do and kind of being happy with that, or saying, you know, you can do more, but, you know, for now you've done the best.
Awesome. Awesome. What, you must have personal values, I believe.
Yes.
And what are those values and why are they important to you?
Yeah, so my personal values that are important to me is being honest, you know, being honest to you, who you are and your values, and in having integrity, doing the right thing, even if it's, you know, hard and nobody's watching.
Yeah.
And family, you know, it's a family because I grew up, you know, in a loving family, so that's important to me. And if you extend it wide into society, you know, being there for each other, supporting each other in the good times, but also in the hard times. And just being transparent, having, you know, transparent communication. And that's, and I would say my values are important because that's the way I've been brought up and my beliefs. Mm.
Yes,
and my personal faith as well.
Very strong. You're very strong about that.
Yeah.
So and you feel those things are working for you.
Yes, I would say they're working for me.
And what would be your advice for other people if you are to advise them about some of these values that you've talked about?
I would advise them, you know, to, I guess, you know, if you have values, you know, to stick to them.
And yeah.
Even if it's not hard. I mean, it doesn't mean that you have to be naive, but it means that, you know, if you don't agree with something, you don't have to say it in a rude or inappropriate way, but you can say, you know, I don't agree with it because of these and these reasons, and you can still be diplomatic about things, which I definitely say is really, you know, sometimes you have to be in life and certain situations. But like I said earlier, you have to stand up for what you believe.
Yeah. Wonderful. How do you balance, because looking at your life, especially in 2018, was a very busy year for you. How do you balance such a very busy life of doing positive things with your I don't know, career or maybe family, because family is one of the values important to you as well. How do you balance that? Because you travel around the world and yet you live in New Zealand with a family. How do you keep that balanced?
I think the balance is sometimes that, you know, definitely goes out of balance. You know, if you have a period that's really busy.
Yeah.
But I think it's just to make the most out of every moment. So an example was in Malaysia, my family, you know, they wanted to come along. And
yeah.
So we decided then to stay a week in Malaysia and just make out before and after the TED Talk, just have a family holiday together.
So you try to be creative around that?
Okay. Yeah, to be creative around that.
And has it been working?
I would say, yeah, it has been working. I mean, what is though is hard, you know, sometimes being away for, you know, for family, but
yeah.
I guess there's way, you know, you're going to work around it, because long term, I think I'm going to be, you know, moving quite around a lot for work career-wise, and I think how balancing it with careers is, because I've just graduated last year, I'm making what I'm doing my career, so it's going to be kind of my career.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Tell us, Alex, what are some of the things you wish you did differently? You know, if you were in college or school or maybe past jobs, or even in your current, you know, advocacy for international adoption and children's rights. What are some of the things, if you cast your mind back, what are some of the things you wish you did differently?
I'd say, I think the word differently, I would say if we're going to go with differently, I would say it's certain attitudes that I've had and sometimes still have is, I think not being, you know, just not being afraid of, let's say, of the unknown of certain things, or not being afraid of not getting something right, but to just try out things that might seem really hard. So an example of that, would be, for instance, that I've been working on quite some time for a book.
Yeah.
And it's taking me quite longer than expected, because I've had phases where I said, oh, this book is not going to be good enough. You know, not a lot of people are probably going to read it and things.
But so you've written your book?
I've done a draft of it.
Okay, so it's not out yet?
No.
How soon is it going to come out?
I can't put a definite date on it, but
You're still working on it?
I would like to get it out by mid this year.
Okay.
And I'm having it edited at the moment, actually.
All right. So can we be a little bit curious? Try to, you know, just peep a little bit in the kitchen and see what this book is about?
I guess to get the full view of the book, you have to buy it. And I think it is an autobiography.
Autobiography, okay.
And it's going to cover the key highlights of my life, from start to where I am now in my life.
Okay. Would you want to say a little bit more for my listeners?
Yeah, some of the highlights will be where I was born, some of the early struggles that I faced.
Wow.
And then a bit of time in Germany, New Zealand, and struggles there and overcome, and also have different people's perspective in it, friends, families, and professionals.
Yeah. Awesome. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Alex, one thing that I really want to get, and probably my listeners, is that, I mean, you are part of a lot of good organizations. You know, you made mention of Toastmasters, Rotary Club, I believe.
Yeah.
And JCI, I think. Yes. And then what else?
So I'm also on the board of a non-profit from a friend of mine called I'm Adopted.
I'm Adopted.
Yeah, basically promoting...
Which is a charitable organization,
yes,
I believe.
From...
Wonderful. I mean, how important is networking for you, being part of all these organizations, for most of them for young people who aspire to do something good or to change the environment that they believe in, to create positive change?
Yeah.
I mean, how important is networking for you?
I would say it's really important, because early on, one of my values is, I said, is family. And if we extend it further on, is, you know, is having like a good group of friends where you share similar beliefs or mission or goals. Because then you have other people in organizations that have got similar values and some similar aspirations that really encourage you. And you also have friends all over the globe. So it's been really life-changing knowing people from all over the world.
Yeah. And you keep in touch?
Yeah, I keep in touch with different people.
How difficult is that to have friends all over the world?
I mean, you can't keep touch constantly, but for instance, and a funny example was when I was in Europe, I was flying to Germany from Brussels, and I had a stopover in Switzerland, and I just caught up with a friend there that I met a couple of years ago at a forum, who I still had stayed in touch with. So So it's really great, you know, if you're somewhere you can just meet a friend that you've met years ago.
Wonderful. You lived in Germany, right?
Yes.
Do you speak German?
Yes, I speak German.
Are you very fluent?
Yeah.
Can you say some few lines for us?
Yeah. Hallo, ich bin der Alexander Kuch. Ich bin adoptiert von Rumänien, von einer deutschen Familie und lebe jetzt seit 12 Jahren in Neuseeland.
Wonderful. What did you just say?
I said my name is Alex and I'm adopted from Romania by a German family, and since 12 years we live in New Zealand.
Wonderful. Do you speak Maori as well?
Sadly, no.
Okay. But you know some few words?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to say some few words in Maori?
I can just say some, yeah, like kia ora.
Wonderful. Beautiful. You are truly an international citizen. Do you speak Romanian?
No.
Okay. Are you willing to learn? Is it part of your goals to learn Romanian?
Is it
Romanian?
It's Romanian. I mean, if an opportunity comes up, you know, yeah. It would be something that I would consider in the future.
In the future.
I mean, I definitely would say in the future I would want to learn a Latin-based language such as Spanish or something,
yeah.
Which I think I would want to do first, because that will make Romanian more easier to learn.
To learn. Oh, so is it...
Yeah.
Okay, because so Romanian sprang out of Latin?
Yeah, and okay. Italian, so they're all romantic languages.
Okay, beautiful, wonderful. What advice would you give to young people who are at your age, and some of them have got careers, maybe they've graduated out of the university or from a technical institution, whatever, and they aren't giving part of their time for the good of the community? I mean, what advice would you give to young people like that?
I would give the advice here to keep doing what you're doing, but also to make sure you've got great people in your life that support you, such as family and mentors, and also people that challenge you. But also to challenge yourself, especially around the idea of not being good enough or something, you know, putting restrictions on yourself because of your age or whatever, but just to go for it. But also to be realistic, to be able to look at something. Yes, this might be hard because this of this, but saying I can do it because of X, Y, Z.
Oh, beautiful.
And to keep in mind what their goals and missions are.
Yeah. All right. So do you keep track of your goals and missions all the time?
Yeah.
How frequently do you check to make sure that you're on the right track?
Yeah, yeah.
How often do you check yourself? I mean, what mechanism do you use to check yourself to make sure that, you know, you're not deviating from your goals?
I've written down normally each year what I would like to see.
Yeah.
And also long-term goals for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And then to see, does what I'm doing, for instance, career or something, does it fit into my long-term goals?
Hmm.
I mean, it doesn't maybe mean that it's what I would like to do maybe now, but seeing, is that going to add to it or is it going to subtract from it? But if it adds to what I want to do, then I go for it, because every experience you can learn from something, even if it might not be directly related to what you'd like to do now.
Yeah, beautiful. Alex, there must be at least one thing that you do every day in life or that has helped you to reach where you are. Okay?
Yes.
What is that thing? There must be something unique that you've been consistently been doing every day in your life, and that has helped you to be where you are today. If you are to share that with us,
I'm trying to think of that.
What would that be? There might be multiple, but probably maybe one unique that you can think of.
I'd say...
What would that be?
I'd probably say currently... I think if it's hard, but probably in some kind of shape or form, being grateful what you have in life.
Yeah.
And also be whatever you do, to try to do your best in it.
So that heart of gratitude has carried you through ever since you found your new environment.
Yes.
And you think that that has helped you to be where you are today.
I think that's one. The other bit is not being afraid of... I mean, you despite being afraid of things, just to go for them. So if I'm interested in something, I will just ask a question, or I won't be afraid to speak to anyone, even if it's like a super important person.
Yeah.
So I think being grateful and having curiosity, and also being adventurous.
Beautiful.
So like I said earlier on, like some of my values are describing myself as I'm a global citizen, being passionate and curious.
Yeah. Wonderful. What will be your last word on the Born to Lead show?
Thank you, everyone, for listening to us. And thank you, Kasita, for having me here today.
Wonderful. Alex Kuch, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so that brings us to the end of today's show. So that was Alex Kuch, who is an international advocate for international adoption and children's rights. So you heard him loud and clear. So that brings us to the end of today's show on the Born to Lead show. Thank you all for tuning in. Those of you who are watching us live on Facebook, Funto from Auckland, or the rest who tune in live on Facebook, we are very grateful. We are very grateful to you all for tuning in on the Born to Lead show from America, from Europe, from China, from, I don't know, from Romania, I'm not too sure, from Germany, maybe, from Auckland, from other part of New Zealand, from Africa, all over the world. You've been tuning in, you've been very faithful, you've been supporting us in one way or the other to bring this show to you. We are very grateful. Thank you for tuning in. So that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you all. So have a wonderful week, and God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Good afternoon.
I'm gonna get you.